The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Monday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Happy you're along for this question and answer session. In today's episode, we're going to cover this question. How do I distinguish between praising God and boasting about self? Have you ever dealt with that question? I know that I have, and I've wondered this before. I think you're going to be blessed by what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about it. Now, before we get to our discussion, I'd like to remind you that you can send us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to it. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for listening to Grace in Focus, where, as Bob has been saying, we're trying to keep the focus on grace.
Amen. There you
Amen.
Go.
Amen. Because we live in such a legalistic and law-focused world that we do need, even in Christian churches, we need to focus on God's grace as He has presented it and not as how we want it to be. I think that's something important to point out. I was just reading a book, really great book, all the way through, written extremely well, more or less about like apologetics for Christianity, just saying how it makes a lot of sense and how the graciousness of it makes sense. And
right.
Then at the very end, he goes off the rails and he starts saying, you know, how Christians are going to, eventually we're going to catch up and accept homosexuality and gay marriage and all those things because that's what it means to be gracious.
Wow.
And I was like, oh man, I was so enjoying this book. It was the second to last chapter. Did it ruin the whole book? And I still kind of learned from other things about the book because grace doesn't mean saying that sin isn't sin. Grace
right.
doesn't mean excusing sin, redefining sin to a virtue. That's not being gracious.
Yeah,
that's not God's grace.
Let's do a book called Grace Doesn't Mean...
Grace Doesn't Mean. I like that. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you would include universalism and annihilationism,
yeah.
and you would say...
Well, I don't know if those are... Well, universalism, I think people do directly tie it to grace.
Yeah.
You're right. Not everything that flies under the banner of grace is gracious. You know, the opposite error that I've noticed is people saying, well, you know, this fake grace is really being easy on sin. Therefore, we need to be hard on sin and we have to make people, you know, we have to add this to the condition of salvation. You know, being hard on sin means telling people, oh, you've done this, that, or the other thing, then you can't be saved until you stop doing those things and start rectifying your behavior. And that's supposed to be like the conservative kind of response to this type of grace liberality, but that is also a perversion of God's grace.
Oh, it sure is.
Because God's grace recognizes sin for what it is. It calls sin a sin.
Right.
And yet it still offers salvation to sinners because of who they believe and what they believe apart from their works.
Yeah, I recently got a question from someone, and the person says, so what is grace in salvation? What does that mean? My response was that the root meaning of the Greek word charis for grace, like in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, is the word favor. And so it's by God's favor that the believers in Ephesus had been saved.
Yeah.
And I pointed out to this person in the email that God's favor includes God sending His only Son, John 3:16.
Right.
For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent Him to die on the cross for our sins.
Right.
So the incarnation is an act of grace.
Mm.
The cross is an act of grace.
Yeah.
The perfect life of Christ is an act of grace. All the miracles Jesus did to prove that what He was saying is true, those were all acts of grace.
Yeah.
The fact that God gave us His Word so that we have the written word, that's an act of grace. Then the fact that God sends people out to give this message. It's not like, well, okay, we got the Bible and nobody's going to say anything because the Bible tells us to keep this secret.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
The Bible encourages us to share it, and so we go out and share them. That's part of God's grace.
Right.
And then the fact the Holy Spirit's drawing people.
Yeah.
That's part of God's grace. And then also just natural revelation is part of God. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Well, see, I wonder. So you say that. I agree all those things are gracious. But I wonder, it makes me wonder, okay, what does the Bible specifically say are aspects of His grace?
That's a good question because the word grace appears a lot, but it's very rare when we're told, okay, here are the components of God's favor.
Like even in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, you are saved by grace and you think, okay, well, what does that mean? through faith apart from works. Well, is the through faith apart from works, is that explaining what grace means in that context? Or is it,
well,
I don't know.
It seems to me that you could even argue the fact that it's by faith apart from works is part of God's favor.
Well, see, I was going to say,
because nobody could be saved if it was by works.
Right. I was going to say, that's like, you know, when people often go to unmerited favor, and that would be the prime verse for that. You haven't merited by works. You believe it, and you're saved apart from your works. It's unmerited favor. You haven't done anything. Because that's one, I think that's one of the things in your 10 words book. God's favor can be merited or unmerited.
Right.
God's favor assumes that we can do things that either earn God's pleasure or his displeasure.
Right.
You know, the real grace of God is that even though we have earned his displeasure, even though we've done everything to get wrath instead of salvation, he still offers us salvation apart from our works.
That's
simply
and,
believing in Jesus.
And that is grace.
I need to do a study about grace and just see, what does God call
grace? And by the way, Sean's right. Y'all need to. Everyone needs to do this. Just look up the word grace. If you have the ability to search in Greek, look up the Greek word charis in the New Testament. Look up all the uses, and then just pick off one each day or two uses each day.
Yeah.
Just look at the passage, think about it, meditate on it. I do have a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and I have a chapter on grace. You might want to check that out. I think it's helpful, but then I'm biased.
Yeah.
I wrote it.
All right. But here's a question from Jennifer. She says, I was listening to your message about without holiness, no one will see the Lord, and I was remembering a discussion I had with a friend who was disagreeing with me on free grace, and she was starting to give her testimony about how she stays and obeys.
She stays and obeys.
I then realized she was boasting about herself to prove that she was saved. And I don't know if you've addressed salvation from this perspective, but I find the following two verses interesting. And then she quotes Romans 3:26 and Ephesians 2:8 and 9 and Romans 3:26 to 28 say, verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I guess she's saying in Paul's mind, one of the proofs that salvation has to be by faith apart from works is that God wants to exclude boasting.
Let me pick up on Jennifer's point, because there's a fine line between praising God for what he's done in your life and boasting about what you've done with your life. Oftentimes, a person will present it like they're praising God.
Yeah.
But like Jennifer says, you suspect what they're doing is trying to pat themselves on the back.
Right, like, I praise God, and I'm not like these other miserable
right.
guys.
Like the Pharisee right. in Luke 16, where he says, I'm not like this tax collector yeah. and other men.
That would be an example of the bad kind of boasting.
Right. We need to be careful of that. We used to see that some when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Yeah.
After we'd send students out to evangelize, we'd then all come back to the conference and have a sharing time. And so students would go up front, and they might be in front of 500 or 1,000 students, and they'd be telling about their witnessing experiences.
Right.
Sometimes it really seemed like they were just genuinely excited about what happened and wanted to share.
Yeah.
But other times it seemed like some of these students just relished being in front of everybody and getting some attention.
Yeah.
And they were really there to kind of praise themselves.
Yeah. I think this is one of Paul's like minor arguments for the faith alone position. It's not like his major thing, but it is there. And I could see why it's there, because he wants to say, listen, Jesus did all the work and you did nothing. So it would make sense then that your boasting would be excluded, because if you start boasting, you start taking away glory from Jesus.
That's a good point. And both in Ephesians 2:9, it is the gift of God. And in John 4:10, where Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God, yeah. which he explains in verse 14, is everlasting life.
Yeah.
As a gift, there's no room for boasting.
Right.
Because this is something which God gives freely.
Right.
And you have the same thing in Revelation 22, I guess it's verse 17, let him take the water of life freely.
Yeah.
And that word freely could be translated as a gift.
Right.
And so there's lots of references to the free gift.
Right. Now, I sympathize, though, if you believe in work salvation, if you're someone who thinks that you need to work your way into heaven, you need to be at least above average good in order to be saved, you're probably going to have a whole lot of doubts about your salvation, about whether you're good enough, about whether you're going to continue to be good enough to be saved. And I imagine that someone in that position might want to shore up their doubts by really becoming their own cheerleader and boasting in all the good things they've done, at least in order to convince themselves that they're on the right trajectory.
I think it's Galatians 5, 15 or 16, where Paul says, if you walk in the flesh, beware you don't bite and devour one another. Mm. And walking in the flesh was walking as a Judaizer, that is, pointing to your works and saying, well, I'm going to make it because I've been circumcised, because I'm keeping the law of Moses, because I keep the festivals and the new moons and everything else, and I'm following the dietary practices, whatever. And so they point to all these things, and he's saying that leads to biting and devour one another, because you say, well, brother so-and-so can't be saved, because did you hear what he said? Did you see what he did?
Right.
Did you see what sister so-and-so said did? And they end up and put other people down so as to elevate themselves.
Right. Maybe they want glory from people. That's really their motivation. But I can also see, because they have doubts about their own salvation, so they need to build themselves up to convince themselves and put those doubts to rest if they can.
Now, let me throw one caution. We're not likely to do that, we who promote faith alone by grace through faith salvation. But we could do it in terms of our sanctification, right?
Yeah.
We could say, well, you know, I'm glad I'm not like brother so-and-so, who is indeed a believer, but did you see what he did? Did you see what he said?
Sure.
And we start comparing with others to make ourselves feel better about the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do well. And what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5, is I don't compare with others. Mm. I'm just waiting until Christ judges me. I think that's a danger we all need to be aware of, because I don't know about you, but I lack confidence oftentimes at how well I'm doing in pleasing the Lord.
Well, Jennifer, we're with you. Yeah, there's that danger in boasting, and as Bob said, we also face that same lack of humility, and we all have something to look out for there. Thanks for your question. You sent it to the right place, by the way. You sent it to radio@faithalone.org, and that's where I'd like you, listener, to send us your question. radio@faithalone.org. See you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about why most churches don't teach eternal reward. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.